I'm pleased to be speaking with Cindy Woodsmall, New York Times bestselling author of When the Soul Mends and The Hope of Refuge, to talk about the final book in her Amish Vines and Orchards series. Hello, Cindy. It's good to talk to you.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
This is the third book in the Amish Vines and Orchards series. Catch me up on what's going on with Rhoda Byler and Samuel and Jacob King so far.
Rhoda Byler is a 22-year-old Amish girl who struggles to suppress the God-given insights she receives. Her people don't approve of such intuitions, and because of their superstitions and fears, Rhoda has spent most of her life alone in her bountiful fruit and herb garden. And 30 miles away, in an Amish district of Harvest Mills, there's three brothers, Samuel, Jacob, and Eli, who are caretakers of their family's orchard. But spider mites have invaded, and if they don't find answers, they may lose their orchard. When Samuel, the oldest King brother, meets Rhoda, he knows they need her help, but the two don't see eye to eye, so he enlists his brother Jacob's help, and they convince her to partner with them. And Rhoda soon falls for the irrepressible Jacob King, but as the harvest begins, a tornado destroys most of the orchard and almost costs Samuel his life. So that's where book two picks up, and they decide to buy an abandoned apple orchard in Maine, but there is no Amish community in Maine. So book two is about them starting a new Amish settlement. But as they begin, Jacob's secrets from his time among the English begin to press in, and he has to separate himself from everyone. Rhoda is falsely accused of committing a crime, and she and Samuel grow closer and closer while they work through this issue. By the time book two ends, Samuel reveals that he's in love with Rhoda, and it turns out that it happens in such a way that Rhoda ends up losing both men. And that's where we begin for every season.
Now, Cindy, tell me a little bit about what it would be like for an old order Amish to establish a new community where there are no Amish, like in Maine. What challenges would they face, and how is this represented in the story?
You know, if we take just a few moments to imagine what it would be like to move to a part of the United States where there are no stores, there's no established schools, no established churches, you know, it would just be very hard to do much of anything. So this is where the story begins, and they, getting a buggy is not like buying a car. So, and their sole purpose is to become self-sufficient. And how do you become self-sufficient when you have no blacksmiths and no carriage makers and no dry goods store and no church leaders yet in place? So this is what the community is dealing with. They take their livestock with them, mostly because the horses are already trained for the buggies. They can't just buy a horse, you know, somewhere. So it's really a journey for them, and it's very much like a new, you know, a pioneer settlement. And this plays out throughout the book.
Now, Rhoda Byler, she's got a bit of a reputation of attracting trouble, some of it due to her unique gifts. Now, what can we expect for Rhoda's growth to be as she has left the King Byler farmhouse? Does she get more comfortable with the leading that God has given her?
She doesn't experience a lot of new freedom in book two, the winnowing season, because they are so busy establishing the new farm and you know, getting the abandoned apple orchard running again. But in book three, she does begin to have a sense of, who am I? What does God want from me? She spent so much time in her life running what she thought was the good race, a race of faith, with her parents wanting her to run it. But then she realizes that she's been running from what God is asking of her. And this is a deep journey for her, and it's one that resonates with me because I refused to write fiction for a long time, and I could understand how she would feel that she thinks she's doing one thing that's for God, and then she gets to a point in her life where she realizes that wasn't God she was running the race for. She was running from what he wanted. So I really think that it's a beautiful journey that helps us understand and embrace one another and the different gifts that one may have that may not feel like it's a God gift.
Jacob and Samuel King are brothers with a big problem. They love the same woman. So, Cindy, how might this tension in the relationship ruin all the plans for the new community?
Oh, this is very difficult for the new community because we have the three King siblings who have come to start this new community, two Bylers, which is Rhoda and her brother and his family, and then other Amish families were supposed to join them. But when Rhoda had her legal problems, the other Amish families said, we're not sure you're going to this community is actually going to survive. And what happens if an Amish community doesn't survive is either the people go back to their original community, or they are simply absorbed into the English community and stop living Amish. And so this is a very real concern when you start a new community that is in a new state. And so this is part of the journey that they are going through. And can they forge a new community that's strong and bring in new Amish people, or will they be absorbed into the world around them?
Cindy Woodsmall has been my guest today. She's the author of When the Soul Mends and The Hope of Refuge, and we've been talking about her final book in the Amish Vines and Orchards series. Cindy, it's so great to talk to you again. Thanks.
Thank you so much.